Hallelujah. Thank you. I'm okay. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Helpers. Sometimes you need a little help.
Amen. We all do.
You know, need a little bit of help. Because as God was telling me in this, the title of what he was going to talk about, what they're going to talk about, is it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It was about you because of Jesus. Okay, I got it. Y'all set.
We can set.
Yeah. You know, we're such a self-centered world that we get so caught up in our own stuff that we forget about each other sometimes. Got just a question. How many people really been praying for me? Thank you. This has been the hardest month I've had since I've been saved. This was a forgive me for crying. But this was the hardest month I've ever. I've been such, under such an attack from the enemy, and I knew it's the enemy. And some days I don't have the strength to fight him on my own. So thank you for your prayers. But God has begun healing me from my feet, the soles of my feet, which I couldn't stand on. Couldn't put one down, had to pick one up, and just couldn't do it. Now I'm just standing normal because that's God. But God, when I was going through that, he said, ain't about you. The telephone calls never stopped coming. I never stopped having to go the places I had to go, whether I was hopping or limping. He said, ain't about you. He said, Jesus paid the price for you on the cross. He said, it was all about you when Jesus suffered on the cross. When they nailed him to the cross, that was about you. When they hung him up there, naked before the world, that was about you. When he took your sicknesses, took these feet, to the cross, that was about you. God said, this ain't about you. He says, it's time now for everybody to realize it's not about you. Your little stuff don't mean one thing to God. This stuff I went through, and I know he loves me. As much as I begged and pleaded for him to take it away, I think about Paul. It didn't. Looked like it got worse and worse every day. Because he kept telling me, it ain't about you. You go through what I allow you to go through. You become strong in what you're going through. You get your mind off of you. And that's honestly, says to God, only thing that gave me any relief was when those telephone calls came, when other people needed me to pray for them. Even in the midst of the stuff, I mean the terrible stuff, nobody knows, not even my children know, the suffering that I've had this past month, and it's been a month. But God knows. And you know something? He brought me through. I might not look like pure gold, but I feel like pure gold. Amen? I know without a doubt, it ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus. It was about us when Jesus hung on that cross because he did it all for us. But he did it for a reason. He didn't do it because for us to just sit around and be selfish and self-centered and think we could live any old kind of way that we want to live. Our body is the temple of the living God. And Jesus paid the way for us to go back to our Father.
Yes, he did.
He made the way straight.
Yes, he
did. There's no crooked way in getting there. You just got to go to God through Christ Jesus.
Yes,
he did it all. So saints of God, if you're going through a little something, if you think you all that in a bag of chips, as Ashishi said, if you think you ain't got no obligation to one another, if you think you don't need to be on your knees praying for one another, if you so caught up in all of your stuff that you don't hear God tells you get up in the middle of the night and pray for so-and-so, then you think it's about you. It ain't about you. It's about Jesus. It's about what he called us to do. He said, go, preach the good news, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. How many times do you get up in the morning and say that song, I give myself away so you can use me? How many times do we get up and do that? Tell the truth now. Don't worry about speaking out. Just think about it. Search yourself. How many times you get up in the morning, oh, I got to get up and go to work again. That old job, I got to see that old boss. Instead of saying, I give myself away so you can use me today in any kind of way you want to, and it might not be a good way. Amen? Yeah, sometimes it ain't a good way. Sometimes you ain't going to feel good. Sometimes you ain't going to feel like saying hallelujah, but you got to say it anyhow. Because God is with us. It's time. Look around you. We are a small group of people. But God has called us. We talked this morning in Bible study how Jesus took that 12 and turned the city upside down. Saints of God, it's time for us to do our turning and our upside down in your space, wherever you are. Wherever you are. Because it ain't about you every day. It ain't about how you feel. God kept telling me, as much as he loves me, as much as he loves me, I know he does. And I'm saying, Father, I can't stay in this pain anymore. It ain't about you. Get up. I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to the bathroom. I don't want to get up. Get up. Do the best you can with what you got. And he brought me through. I'm standing on both feet. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. Hallelujah. I'm free this morning. I'm free for me. Amen? I'm free for me. Because me might not never be no more good. But it's all about Jesus. And all about what he's called me to do. So, this morning, make a choice today to honor God with your whole being. He deserves it. Now, I just got some scripture that my helpers, I don't want to call them elves because I don't know if that's a God or not, that my helpers going to read. And we're just going to listen at the scripture because I'm not a preaching preacher anymore right now. I have to wait till God do whatever he need to do with me, and God knows he's working, doing a work in me. Amen. I listened to a pastor while I was in my condition, and he said, God is trying to take you to a higher level. He said, but you got to go through what you're going through. I mean, as soon as I turned the television on, it looked like he was speaking directly to me. So I said, okay, God, I can take it. Whatever you got, I can take it. But I'm telling you, it's rough sometimes. So saints of God, what I want to tell you, not always going to be good. Not always going to be pretty. I think everybody in here know I love God with all my heart. I love him. Ain't nothing I wouldn't do for him, or I thought. But will I go through for him? Will I hold to his unchanging hand when things get rough? Just hold on, saints of God. But what we're going to do, they're going to read Romans 12. 13 and 14. Linda's going to read 12. Oh, what are we reading? And 12 and 14. Janet's going to read 13. And that's all I got to say, saints of God. God just gave me that little bit, but he told me to ask for some helpers. That's all I need. Amen.
Romans 12. And so, dear brethren, I plead with you to give your bodies to God. Let them be a living sacrifice, holy, the kind he can accept. When you think of what he has done for you, is this too much to ask? Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but be a new and different person with fresh newness in all you do and all you think. Then you will learn from your own experience how his ways will really satisfy you. As God's messenger, I give each of you God's warnings. Be honest in your estimate of yourselves, measuring your value by how much faith God has given you. Just as there are many parts to our bodies, so it is with Christ's body. We are all parts of it, and it takes every one of us to make it complete. For we each have different works to do, so we belong to each other, and each needs all the others. God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, then prophesy whenever you can, as often as your faith is strong enough to receive a message from God. If your gift is that of serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, do a good job of teaching. If you are a preacher, see to it that your sermons are strong and helpful. If God has given you money, be generous in helping others with it. If God has given you administrative ability and put you in charge of the works of others, take the responsibility seriously. Those who offer comfort to the sorrowing should do so with Christian cheer. Don't just pretend that you love others. Really love them.
Amen.
Hate what is wrong. Stand on the side of good. Love each other with brotherly affection and take delight in honoring each other. Never be lazy in your work, but serve the Lord enthusiastically. Be glad for all God is planning for you. Be patient in trouble and prayerful always. When God's children are in need, you be the one to help them out. And get into the habit of inviting guests home for dinner, or if they need lodging for the night. If someone mistreats you because you are a Christian, don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. When others are happy, be happy with them. If they are sad, share their sorrow. Work happily together. Don't try to act big. Don't try to get into the good graces of important people, but enjoy the company of ordinary folks. And don't think you know it all. Never pay back evil for evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honest clearly through. Don't quarrel with anyone. Be at peace with everyone just as much as possible. Dear friends, never avenge yourselves. Leave that to God, for he has said that he will repay those who deserve it. Don't take the law into your own hands. Instead, feed your enemy if he is hungry. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, and you will be heaping coals of fire on his head. In other words, he will feel ashamed of himself for what he has done to you. Don't let evil get the upper hand, but conquer evil by doing good.
Okay. Chapter 13, obey the government, for God is the one who has put it there. There is no government anywhere that God has not placed in power. So those who refuse to obey the laws of the land and are refusing to obey God, and punishment will follow. For the policeman does not frighten people who are doing right, but those doing evil will always fear him. So if you don't want to be afraid, keep the laws and you will get along well. The policeman is sent by God to help you. But if you are doing something wrong, of course you should be afraid, for he will have you punished. He is sent by God for that very purpose. Obey the laws, then, for two reasons. First, to keep from being punished, and second, just because you know you should. Pay your taxes too, for these same two reasons. For government workers needs to be paid so that they can keep on doing God's work, serving you. Pay everyone whatever he ought to have. Pay your taxes and import duties gladly. Obey those over you and give honor and respect to all those to whom it is due. Pay all your debts except the debt of love for others. Never finish paying that. For if you love them, you will be obeying all of God's laws, fulfilling all his requirements. If you love your neighbor as much as you love yourself, you will not want to harm or cheat him or kill him or steal from him. And you won't sin with his wife or want what is his or do anything else that the Ten Commandments say is wrong. All ten are wrapped up in this one. To love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love does no wrong to anyone. That's why it fully satisfies all of God's requirements. It is the only law you need. Another reason for right living is this. You know how late it is. Time is running out. Wake up, for the coming of the Lord is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is far gone. The day of his return will soon be here. So quit the evil deeds of darkness and put on the armor of right living. As we who live in the daylight should, be decent and true in everything you do, that all can approve your behavior. Don't spend your time in wild parties and getting drunk or in adultery and lust or fighting or jealousy, but ask the Lord Jesus Christ to help you live as you should, and don't make plans to enjoy evil.
Give a warm welcome to any brother who wants to join you, even though his faith is weak. Don't criticize him for having different ideas from yours about what is right or what is wrong. For instance, don't argue with him about whether or not to eat meat that has been offered to idols. You may believe there is no harm in this, but the faith of others is weaker. They think it is wrong and will go without any meat at all and eat vegetables rather than eat any meat of any kind. Those who think it is all right to eat such meat must not look down on those who won't. And if you are one of those who won't, don't find fault with those who do. For God has accepted them to be his children. They are God's servants, not yours. They are responsible to him, not to you. Let him tell you whether they are right or wrong, and God is able to make them do as they should. Some think that Christians should observe the Jewish holidays as special days to worship God, but others say it is wrong and foolish to go through all that trouble, for every day alike belongs to God. On questions of this kind, everyone must decide for himself. If you have special days for worshiping the Lord, you are trying to honor him. You are doing a good thing. So is the person who eats meat that has been offered to idols. He is thankful to the Lord for it, and he is doing right. And the person who won't touch such meat, he too is anxious to please the Lord and thankful. We are not our own bosses to live or die as we ourselves might choose. Living or dying will follow the Lord. Either way, we are his. Amen. Christ died and rose again for this purpose, so that he can be our Lord, both while we are living and when we die. You have no right to criticize your brother or to look down on him. Remember, each of us will stand personally before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, "As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me and every tongue will confess to God." Yes, each of us will give account of himself to God. So don't criticize each other in any way. Try instead to live in such a way that you will never make your brother stumble by letting him see you doing something that he thinks is wrong. As for myself, I am perfectly sure on the authority of the Lord Jesus that there is nothing really wrong with eating meat that has been offered to idols. But if someone believes it is wrong, then he shouldn't do it because of him. who is bothered by what he see you eat. You are not acting in love if you go ahead and eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Don't do anything that will cause criticism against yourself, even though you know that what you do is right. For after all, the important thing for us Christians is not what we eat or drink, but stirring up goodness and peace and joy from the Holy Ghost. If you let Christ be Lord in these affairs, God will be glad and so will others. In this way, aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Amen. Don't undo the work of God for a chunk of meat. Remember, there is nothing wrong with the meat, but it is wrong to eat it if it makes another stumble. The right thing to do is quit eating meat or drinking wine or doing anything else that offends your brother or makes him sin. You may know that there is nothing wrong with what you do, even from God's point of view, but keep it to yourself. Don't flaunt your faith in front of others who might be hurt by it. In this situation, happy is a man who does not sin by doing what he knows is right. But anyone who believes that something he wants to do is wrong shouldn't do it. He sins if he does, for he thinks it is wrong, and so for him it is wrong. Anything that is done apart from what God feels is right is sin. Amen.
Amen. Did that tell us what we should be doing, what we should not be doing? That tells you it's not about you. It's about God. It's about Jesus. It's about what we're supposed to be doing, whether you feel like it or not. You know, we got a work to do. We got a way to act. We got a way to live. We can't live like anybody else in this world. We just can't do it. You can't do it. God said he's got a remnant. You're a remnant of people. God expects you to do exactly what he says to do. That's why he wanted us to read the word. That was, you know, that was preaching, don't you? Yeah, that was the best of preaching, because you get to get all of the word. When you're preaching, you get snips and snatches of the word. But that was preaching. God wants us as a body to read with understanding. Not just read it with understanding, but live it. Come on, get it deep and live it. I think Janice, I don't know which one read, the time is short. I can get up here and say it all the time, but it came out the word of God. It came right. I say it. I've been saying it for years. But they read it right out of the word of God. Jesus is soon to come back. So let us allow God to straighten our lives out, to get us the peace that we need. We ain't got no peace when we messed up. We ain't got no peace when we doing any old kind of thing that we want to do. There ain't no peace in that. You might be having a good time when you do it, but then you get back and if you start thinking about Jesus and if you start thinking about what he did on the cross, then that's when the stress and torment gonna come. The enemy gonna torment you like he tormented me. You ain't gonna walk no more, you know. Yeah, he said stuff like that. I said, that's not what my God said. He said, how beautiful are the feet that spread the good news. I'm a good news spreader. Amen. So I knew without a doubt my God was going to bring me through. But I just didn't know when. Yeah, it's true. But I knew it was coming through. And I thank God this morning. I thank God for my children. They just were me silly. But they wear me silly because they love me so much. Put these shoes on. Don't go. Don't put those shoes. Right. One of them went out and bought me 2 pair of shoes. Right. I got them on, but you know, they my Sunday shoes now, so you might as well get used to them. This morning I wanted to put on some more shoes. They was pretty well stable. Nope, she came up, threw them away. And put the shoes on me themselves. That's because they love me. That's because they care. They see the pain that I was in. So I thank God for that, not just for you all, not just for them, but for you all, my church family. I told them Thursday night, I pressed my way out, didn't feel like I didn't care, always feel better. I told them Thursday night, I'm so glad they were here. Because when I come in, feeling really bad. When I leave out, I'm feeling really good because we need each other. We need each other. When you're at home, know, say, God, who needs me today? Which one of my sisters or brothers need extra prayer today? Because sometimes we need extra prayer. Just need somebody on one side. Aaron, whatever ones they are, to hold up our arms. And that's what God told me to do this morning. Hallelujah. Cameron, I tried to get him to tell me it was you, but he wouldn't. But you know what? He's going to use you. Yeah, he's going to use me. I did. I said, Father, is it Cameron? I kept saying, it's Cameron. And then he told me, Janice and Linda. But he knew you this morning. Yeah. Yeah. But God is good. But did y'all have anything to say? Yeah, you did. Go ahead. You got 2 or 3 minutes.
Just verifying the scriptures that the Lord had Pastor Ann to reflect on goes back to what he asked us to do in our 30 days of blessings in the Women's Fellowship. He admonished us every day to bless someone, but it's not just to bless based on what you think. It's based on spending time with him and seeking him to find out who it is that you have to bless and how you have to bless them. Definitely not always monetary. It could be a drink of water. It could be a sandwich. It could be a hug. It could be a compliment. It could be a prayer. Anything that he tells you to do. And sometimes it's not the most, it's not always the easiest thing, but it's definitely something. And you can tell when he's telling you, because he'll tell you over and over and over and over and over, you know, until you go ahead and do it. So it's best when you hear him to go ahead and move on his behalf. Another thing, I know beyond a shadow of doubt that it's spiritual warfare that Pastor Ann is going through with so many people praying for her, because we were talking to a young man, and when you get in there and you start messing with the enemy's territory, you got to stand. When you done all the stand, you got to stand. Yeah. And it's not an easy thing. And just even this week, I think we both, within a matter of probably a half an hour, somebody almost ran head on into us on 2 different cars. I had gone out and I had picked up somebody on the highway. And as I was heading home, and it wasn't like it was around a curve or a hill, the car was coming straight for me. And I blew the horn, and they jerked over the other side, and I went over as far on this side. Same thing happened to him within the same exact area. Same exact area. So we know that the enemy is worked up because he knows he's defeated, yeah, and he's trying to get you to move off of your faith. I was talking to a young man last night, and he was saying that on his job he had been an effective witness. He said he had kind of gone through Bible school at the time, and he said, I was on fire. I just wasn't playing. And he said he saw a guy, and he was talking to the guy about Jesus, and he said he didn't start the conversation. He don't even know how it started. But he said, the guy said, I'm telling you right now that I'm of the church of Satan. And it's like, you better back off. He said, I'm telling you that if you don't get yourself straight, you're going to end up burning in hell. And so he said, the guy just got so angry. Yeah. And he said, he went away. And he said, when I got home that night, he said, as soon as I laid in that bed, he came through that window and appeared before me. He said, before I could even say the name of Jesus, he had to flee. He said, because Jesus was the first thing coming off my mouth and in my heart. He said, I looked at him, and before the words even came, he had to go. Amen. He said, the next day at work, he saw him, and it was that exact individual, he said, dressed in all black when he came through that window. He said, he hadn't seen him since. He said, but he was so angry that next day because he had no power over him because he came in to destroy him. So these are the things that, you know, God will allow you to see in order to be a witness and know that Satan is real and that this day and time is nothing to play with. You got to stay girded up. You got to stay, have your armor on. You got to stay in Psalm 91 and just constantly seeking the Lord for his instruction and direction.
I just want to say, I know that's true, because there was one night when there was nothing but figures coming at me from all around. I mean, ugly, just distorted figures. And all you can say is Jesus. Amen. But they flee. So I know that's true what he said.
And I just thank God for obedience, and I thank God for Mother Scott for giving me chapter 13. I think I was more anxious of using one of these, you know, thinking I was going first, and I had to try to find it, you know, because I'm used to the electronic device. So, but I love the verses that stand out to me is a verse of in chapter 13, verse 3 through, verse 3 and 4. They're very long verses, but it says, "For the policeman does not frighten people who are doing right, but those doing evil will always fear him. So if you don't want to be afraid, keep the laws and you will get along well. The policeman is sent by God to help you, but if you are doing something wrong, of course, you should be afraid, for he will have you punished. He is sent by God for that very purpose." And I just feel in my spirit that we are the policemen. You know, we're here for a purpose. And when we're going through attacks and we're going through our weeks and people are just going against us, it's because we are the policemen. And we are the ones that's going to be obedient to God and is going to stand for God and is going to stand right for God. And that light will be reflective on us. And that's the reason why they're going to be frightened of us. And we just have to pray and we just have to be obedient and we just have to keep knowing that he is in control and that he is in full authority over our lives. So I just accept that responsibility today that I am a policeman. And as a policeman, I'm going to follow his word and I have the rightful place to be respected. But I do know that I will frighten people. So, thank God for his word. Amen.